The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the disciples had gathered around Jesus on the hillside, he began to teach them. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many years ago, I came across a meditation on the power of words. It was written by the then Bishop of Cleveland, Ohio. This is what he wrote. Words, I learned from experience, can be weapons, and words can be healing. Words can unite in friendship or sever in enmity. Words can unlock who I am or mask me from others. Two words, Sieg Heil, bloodied the face of Europe. Three words, here I stand, divided the body of Christendom. Words have made slaves, and words have freed slaves. Words have declared war and imposed peace. Words can sentence one to death. You shall be hanged by the neck. Words restore life. Your sins are forgiven. Words declare a marriage dead, and words covenant a life together in love. He goes on to say, words charm and repel, amuse and anger, reveal and conceal, chill and warm. Words clarify and words obscure. A word from Washington rained down hell on Hiroshima. Words from an altar change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. He concludes, a word is sacred. A word is powerful. My friends, we have just listened to God's word. Indeed, from the book of Isaiah, we heard God's word about God's word. God's word about the power of God's word. In this passage from Isaiah, our first reading, which happens to be one of my favorites, and one which we will hear again at the Easter Vigil. God assures us that His word is indeed powerful. It causes things to be transformed. It causes things to grow. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it is spoken. During this season of Lent, we are called, together with Christians everywhere, to prepare for the renewal of our baptismal promises at Easter. By embracing more intentionally the practices of prayer, fasting, and works of charity, we discover with greater clarity what it means to be baptized, what it means to be united completely with Christ, what it means to live no longer for ourselves, but through, with, and in Him who gave us life. In these early days of Lent, the Scriptures alert us to yet another practice beyond prayer, fasting, works of charity. I would suggest to you that the Scriptures alert us to the principal practice, which helps us to discover with greater clarity what it means to be fully alive in Christ. And it is simply listening to God's word. Listening to God's word. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, reminds us that faith comes from hearing the word of God. Our relationship with Christ is born out of hearing God's word. In his second letter to Timothy, St. Paul recalls that the inspired word of God teaches us and trains us for life in God, life with God. And in last Sunday's gospel, you will recall, Jesus rebuked the tempter who offered him bread, that he and all humanity is not sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We heard that message again in tonight's gospel acclamation. Just as Jesus found clarity about his life's work, and just as Jesus was sustained in his ministry by the word of God, so also the daily exercise of listening to God's word will give you and me clarity about our baptismal vocation and how God sustains us each day. How powerful, how important is the word of God for our life in Christ. In today's gospel, Jesus shifts our focus from God's word to our words and gives us what I think is a rather stark instruction. Don't use so many words. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Jesus tells us, when we pray, use just a few words. And he gives his disciples, he gives to each of us, a model for prayer, which is actually just a few words. But they are words that encompass just about everything we could possibly desire or need to say to God. Each short sentence of the Lord's Prayer is chock full of meaning. In fact, each short phrase could encompass an entire lifetime of a person's prayer. During this Lenten season, we are encouraged to pray each day and to pray more often. However, that does not mean that we are to use more words, but rather to use few words, but pray fervently more often, and to pray especially the very prayer that Jesus gave us. In the office of readings this morning, I happened to notice, after I prepared my homily, that St. Cyprian, in commenting on the Lord's Prayer, reminds us that it is our family prayer, a prayer that binds us together as a family. So how important and how powerful are the words of Jesus on our lips? How powerful, how important are these words for our life in Christ? At the end of today's gospel, our Lord draws our attention somewhat indirectly to some more powerful words. Not God's word addressed to us, nor our words addressed to God, but our words addressed to one another. In particular, words of forgiveness. Through the cross of Christ, you and I were set free from the power of Satan. Our sin is forgiven. As we are reminded at every celebration of the Eucharist, Jesus died on the cross, and his blood was poured out for each of us, for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. When recalling our baptism, as the Church urges us all to do during this Lenten season, we are reminded that we are born of water and the Spirit. But we can also rightly say that our life in Christ was born in forgiveness, out of the depth of God's love for us. And we can rightly say that our life in Christ, both as individuals and as a community, is sustained daily by forgiveness. How powerful, how important are these words of forgiveness for our life in Christ? I like to think that if we all take Lent seriously, especially if we listen to God's word each day, if we pray more fervently and more often the Lord's Prayer, and if we make his words of forgiveness our own, then we will be even more baptized this Easter than we were last Easter. We'll be even more baptized this Easter than we were on the day that the sacrament was conferred. We will be simply more alive in Christ Jesus. I am mindful of the theme of your parish Lenten journey: community, family, disciples all, and stewards of the faith. As I understand that theme, Father Lobsinger might correct me, but as I understand it, it's a wonderful and a challenging theme, a theme for a whole lifetime. May I suggest that as a sort of starting point for unpacking this theme, that each person here embrace three words: the powerful word of God, the powerful words of prayer, and the powerful words of forgiveness. Because these words will most certainly strengthen the bonds of love in this community and in each family. These words will most certainly shape each of us as true and faithful disciples of Jesus the Lord. And they will definitely sustain each of us as stewards of the faith and empower us to share our faith with others. May each person here be truly blessed by God's word as we journey to the great feast of Easter.